So, many years ago, I was learning Maseches Megillah with a chavrus of mine in the Boston Summer Kollel, and we learned the opening Gemara, where the Gemara is trying to explain two different systems of how you get a drasha to teach you multiple days of Megillah reading. And one of the systems was based upon a drasha of L'kayemes Yimei HaPurim Ha'ela Bizmanehem. It could have said Bizman, it could have said Bizmanam, and it says Bizmanehem, so the Gemara says Man, Zmanam, Zmanehem. And from that they derive multiple times. Now, of course, the other sheet of the Gemara says that Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem, L'mashmalahu. They don't think that you can darshan those words. I remember that my chavrus at the time, who was a grandparents, were Satmer, so said, ah, and he always talked about his Hasidic roots, or he said, ah, yes, the Hasidic motto, Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem, L'mashmalahu. That in time doesn't bother them. But in all seriousness, the issue of the Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem, in its own homiletical sense, highlights the fact that perhaps no other mitzvah has a variation of time in the way that Mikra Megillah does. Right? Normally, Tkia Shofar is the first day of Tishrei. Period. End of discussion. We can have a Sveka Dioma, right, which is the real day, but at the end of the day, it's one day. You pick up a lulav and esrog, nidaraisa, on Tesvat Tishrei, etc., etc. But only Purim actually has the possibility where there are actually different times to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. The first Mishnah Megillah, and I want to actually focus in the Shir on three different ones, each in increasing complexity. The last one is a fascinating, fascinating sukkah, which is the question of someone who, let's say, lives in Yerushalayim but is traveling outside Yerushalayim, or vice versa, and especially if they're going to be transferring, you know, moving places at some point during the 2 days of Purim, which day are they actually supposed to read the Megillah? In fact, there's a Yerushalmi that I'm not going to explore because it makes my head spin, and I think it would require far too much time, and it's not really cited. It's not cited in the Shulchan Aruch, I don't think the Beis Yosef, the possibility that you could have to actually read the Megillah twice on two different days. But I'm going to put that possibility aside for the moment, assume that you only need to hear the Megillah on one day, and that last question, the most complicated of the multiple shifting times of Purim, we'll explore which should that day be. The opening, the first of the three, strikes us immediately in the opening Mishnah of Megillah. The Megillah Mishnah says, Megillah nikreis v'acharasar b'shneimasar b'shloshasar b'arbasar b'chamishasar v'polchas v'lo yosar. So this doesn't mean, of course, that you read the Megillah five times, but rather it means the Megillah can be read on the 11th of Adar, on the 12th of Adar, the 13th of Adar, the 14th of Adar, and the 15th of Adar. What's the general rule? So the Mishnah says that krachim hamukafim choma mimos Yoshua ben Nun korim b'chamisha asar. Cities that were walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun, so they read on the 15th. B'zecher to the nace that was happened in Shushan. Shushan was not walled from the time, at least according to the Gemara, Shushan was not walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Nonetheless, and they when they chose to model the mitzvah, what is defined as a walled city, parallel to Shushan, because remember in Shushan, they fought on the 13th and the 14th, so they didn't rest and celebrate till the 15th. So in choosing to model upon Shushan, they chose the criteria of cities that were walled from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. It's actually based upon a different din to Oraisa. There's a din, if you learn Parshas Behar, that if you sell a field, it always comes back in the Yovel. But if you sell a house in a city that's walled, so then, if it's considered a walled city, Habayis Asher Ba'ir Asher Lo Choma, Lo with a Vav, so then you have 365 days to redeem it. If you don't, it becomes permanently owned by the person who bought it. The definition of an ir choma, as opposed to what the Torah says, are batei achatzeirim, houses that are not treated like being a walled city; they're treated like the field, which goes back in the Yovel. So the distinction that the Gemara makes, one of the requirements is it has to be walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. It doesn't matter whether it has a wall now. It only matters whether it was an ir hamukaf choma at the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So that's the din to Oraisa for the purposes of batei arei choma. And in Megillah, they essentially modeled it upon that date. And therefore, cities that are walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun Because the miracle happened in Shushan, which was a walled city, those cities read on the 15th. However, Kfarim v'Ayaros Gedolos, Kfarim v'Abasar. In principle, Ayaros Gedolos means big cities. Kfarim are little towns or villages. So they read on the 14th. Elosha Kfarim Akdim and the Yom HaKenisa. The Kfarim, the Chachamim, allowed to read in the Yom HaKenisa. I think the way Rashi explains, or Tosus explains, that the people on the farm didn't necessarily know how to read Megillah, but they used to come in for the market days on Monday and Thursday. There was Kriyas HaTorah. The Batei Din at least sat on the Mondays and Thursdays, and therefore the Chachamim allowed them to read the Megillah on the day that immediately, the closest Yom HaKnisa that precedes the date of Yudalit. So the Mishnah then goes through the sequence, that if Yudalit is on a Monday or Thursday, Everybody except for the walled cities read on a Monday or Thursday. And if Yudalit comes out on a Monday or a Friday, then the Kfarim that come in on a Tuesday or Friday, we end up reading it on what we call Tainis Esther. And if it was on a Wednesday, Yudalit can't be on a Shabbos in our calendar, but if it's on a Wednesday, then they end up reading it on the 12th of Adar, which is the Monday they come in. And if it turns out to be on a Sunday, then they read it the previous Thursday, which actually works out to be the 11th of Adar. So the Mishnah has three, depending on the year and the way Purim falls out, so the Kfarim are allowed to be Makdim Liyom HaKenisa. One of the interesting things that emerges here, and a Shaila that I'm not really going to explore, but would be a very interesting topic to explore, can someone who is a Ben Yudalid, who maybe read the Megillah on Yudalid Adar, can that person read on the 15th of Adar to be Motzi someone who hasn't been Yotze? Do we say that they're a Bar Chiyuva or not? Do we say that since the fact that they were Yotze doesn't mean anything, because the rule is Yatza Motzi. Even if you were Yotze in the mitzvah, as long as there's another Jew who's Mechuyiv in that mitzvah that you were Mechuyiv in, so you have Arvus, you have a responsibility to help them fulfill that mitzvah. But if you're a Ben Yudalid, you're not Chayiv, and you really can't fulfill your mitzvah on Tesvav, can you read for someone on Tesvav? And the question could be asked vice versa. The Yushalmi actually sounds like it distinguishes between the two cases. The one interesting, as far as I know, the Bavli doesn't talk about it, but the interesting thing that comes up is, who reads for the Bnei HaKfarim on the Yom HaKenisa? So, presumably, I think the way the Rashi Tosa says, they didn't know how to read, so it was a Benir who was going to read on the 14th, who's not allowed to read on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, and yet he's being motzi, someone, on a day that he actually can't be yotzei. Okay, but that would be a side question. Okay, so now, that was true b'sman ha-mishnah, so there were actually five different times for Megillah. In a given year, there was always 14 and 15, and sometimes there was one of the other 3 days, 11, 12, or 13. And the rule the Gemara gives is it has to be is that you cannot be ma'achrim. In other words, the 15th is the absolute terminal point for Mikra Megillah, so anything that would be done has to be done before. The Rambam writes, and this is based upon a Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote the Din of Yimei HaKenisa 11th, 12th, and 13th. The Rambam writes, "Bametvam amurim shemakdim v'mekorim yemakdisa bisman sheish lahem Yisrael malchus avo bisman hazeh in korin aso ela bismana shiyom arbasar v'yom chamishasar b'nei kfarim b'nei aros korim arbasar b'nei krachim korim chamishasar." The Rambam says, for whatever reason, the Gemara says something sounds a little bit, it's not exactly the same language, but the Gemara says that we don't, that the Din Yimei HaKenisa doesn't apply anymore, and therefore you either read it on the 14th or the 15th. If I'm not mistaken, I don't think it's the Shulchan Aruch or the Magen Avraham quotes this idea that if you're not going to be able to hear Megillah on the 14th or 15th, then you should read it on the 11th, 12th, or 13th without a bracha. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that if you did read it then without a bracha, and then you've managed to get a hold of a Megillah on the 14th or the 15th, whichever your day is, you read it then with a bracha. In other words, you're not even Yotzei B'dieved, not even a remez or a shemetz of a kosher who that you were Yotzei when you read it on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. So you just do it L'zecha, you want to be Mazkir the Nes, and the Aruch HaShulchan says by that token, even if it's Rosh Chodesh Adar, you might as well read it if you're not going to have a Megillah later, but you're not Yotzei at all Bizman Hazeh on the Yimei HaKenisa, you're only Yotzei on the 14th or the 15th. So if you did it before, you do it, and now all of a sudden you get a Megillah on the 14th, the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah, so you're obligated to read the Megillah, and you read it with a bracha. It was no suffix that maybe you were Yotzei already.
No, but why did that change? If the reason was functional, what difference does it make if there's Machin Sir? Like, why?
For starters, we would say Bisman has said you don't even have that. You know, for a long time they didn't have Yemei HaKenisa anymore. It wasn't Monday and Thursday anymore, so the fell apart. There is the reason that the Gemara seems to offer, and might be what the Rambam was echoing here, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes this, is that at a certain point, once you no longer had a strong central Jewish presence in Eretz Yisrael, with a certain kind of Kiddush HaChodesh announcement, so people essentially then relied upon Purim to count 30 days to Pesach. And if you start moving around the day they read the Megillah, and Purim for them is you read the Megillah, you're going to end up confusing them with Pesach is. So that's the reason. Okay, so this is the first of the variety of Purim days. So the bottom line for us in practice is that it's either Yudalid or Tesvav. It's no longer Yudalif Yud Beis or Yud Gimel. Now, Aaron, this is for you, although it doesn't normally affect you where you're living exactly. But what happens when Purim comes out on Shabbos? Now, a word about Purim coming out on Shabbos. In our calendar, if you're interested in reading the short form, I think I've given a calendar share here on this, about how the calendar falls out. If you want to see the review of it, it's Simen Tav Chav Ches in Orach Chaim. It's the last, I think it's the last Simen in fourth Chelek of Mishneh Berurah. It's the last Simen in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh. It's right before Hilchos Pesach. So if you're starting now to learn Hilchos Pesach, as you should, it's Shloshim Mekodem Achag. So instead of doing Tav Chav Ches, just start with Tav Chav Ches. Go back one Simen earlier, and it lays out the rules of the calendar. Now, one of the rules of the calendar is the rule that governs the calendar is Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah is not allowed to come out on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. The reason that can't is because either Yom Kippur would be Samach LaShabbos, or because Hoshana Rabbah would be on Shabbos. Between Pesach and the following Rosh Hashanah, meaning between this coming Rosh Hashanah of Tav Shin, whatever year it's going to be, Pei?
Yeah.
Of Tav Shin Pei, and this Pesach coming up, Abad Leinu Lutova in less than a month, there is no variety between the Pesach and the Rosh Hashanah, that variation between the Pesach and the Rosh Hashanah that follows in terms of the number of days. It's always the exact number of days that passed. It's always that Rosh Hashanah is 2 days later in the week than Pesach was, because the calendar, starting with Nisan through the beginning of Tishrei, has no variation. In fact, Nisan through the end of Tishrei is always the exact same months, no additional months. The days are always fixed, 30-29, 30-29, 30-29, 30. Therefore, if you just do the arithmetic, you'll see that that Pesach is always 2 days earlier in the week than Rosh Hashanah. So if Rosh Hashanah cannot be on Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday, then if you subtract 2 days from each of those, you wind up with Lo Badu Pesach. Pesach cannot come out this easy on an even day of the week. It can only come out on an odd day of the week. And then the next step is, Purim is also tied to that, because Purim is always the last Adar, if there are two, and the Adar Samach HaNisan, and the Adar Samach HaNisan is 29 days by definition. In a leap year, Adar Sheni is 29, in a regular year, Adar is 29. And therefore, if you do the arithmetic, so Purim always comes out 2 days earlier in the week than Pesach, which means if Pesach can't come out on a Monday, or a Wednesday, or Friday, then Purim of Yudalid cannot come out on a Shabbos, on a Monday, or on a Wednesday. So, straightforward. Yud Aleph cannot be Shabbos. But it can be a Friday, which means that in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, and I don't know if there are any other cities today that do, Tveria is a suffix. It's supposed to read on Yud Aleph and Tesvav in Tveria. But in Yerushalayim, and not just the old city, but things that are close enough also, however that's defined, Samuch and Nira, it's close by, it can be seen, however you define those. So they read the Megillah on Tesvav. And Tesvav can come out on Shabbos. And the Gemara in Megillah says that you can't read the Megillah on Shabbos for the same reason that the Chachamim were mevatel the mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar on Shabbos and mevatel the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog on Shabbos because of Gzeirah the Rabbah. Maybe you'll take the Megillah in this case and carry it four amos in the Rishos HaRabim, and therefore they did away with Megillah on Tesvav. Now the Mishnah says, and this is the only data that we do have, the Mishnah says that we read the Megillah when Tesvav comes out on Shabbos, we read the Megillah on Friday. Of the Tesvav people read the Megillah on Friday. Incidentally, the Mishnah does talk. There's not a Mishnah. Rosh Hashanah could come out any day of the week. And they talk about what happens when Yudalid comes out on Shabbos. It's a machlokes between the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether the Yudalid people read the Megillah on Friday, or once they're bumping it earlier, they push it already to the Yom HaKanisa. But we don't have that in our calendar, so living here in Chutz Laretz and living in most of Eretz Yisrael, you don't deal with this issue. But you would read the Megillah in a year where Shushan Purim comes out on Shabbos, you would read it on Friday. As far as I know, that's the only thing the Bavli has to say about it. It doesn't tell you about any of the other mitzvahs hayom, anything that you do. But here, the Torah writes, Purim Shecholios, on the Roman numeral 2, Purim Shecholios, B'Shabbos, Kigon Tesval, L'Bnei Krochim, the Ilu Yudalot, L'Yavol, Olam B'Shabbos. So if Pshusham Purim comes out of Shabbos, because Yudalot can't, Ein Konas HaMegillah B'Shabbos, and L'Makdim and L'Krosa Be'erev Shabbos, you read it on Friday. Ukadesh Yizkaru Inyan Hayom Dorshem Binyano. So you should remember that it's Purim today. You give Shir and Hilchos Purim. Right? There's you have a very short lunch and you have a long afternoon Seder and Shir learning the laws of Purim. That's all the Torah says. The Beis Yosef comes along and says, Umasha Kasa Makdim and Lakrosa Barba Shabbos Shamba Mishnah. Mishnah says that you read the Megillah on Friday. Umatsasi Kasov Sheminag Yerushalayim Legabos Maos Matnosaniyim Walachalkam Bobayom. So the minhag was, says the Beis Yosef, that they would collect and distribute Matanos Lavyonim on Friday. Now that makes sense because you can't do it on Shabbos. Now why Friday? Because there's going to be something on Sunday also. The answer is the Gemara says that Einim Shelaniyim are Tluyim b'Megillah to look for Matanos Aniyim. So whenever you read the Megillah, the Matanos Aniyim have to follow. Okay, so that takes care now of the four major mitzvahs of Purim. We now, the Megillah is done on Friday, and Matanos Levyonim is done on Friday. Then he says, the Ein Omrim Bo Al Hanisim. You don't say Al Hanisim on Friday. The Emotziim Bo Sefer Torah. It's Friday, you don't have Kriyas HaTorah, so you don't read Vayavo Amalek. The Yom Shabbos Shalafanav, Shahaya Ches La'Adar, the previous Shabbos, Korim Parsha Zachar, Umaftirin Pakadati. That makes sense. That's everybody does that. Uvishabbos Yom Tesvav, Shu Yom Purim, Omrim Al Hanisim. That's when you say Al Hanisim, on the day it happened. Umotziim Bo Shnei Svarim. You take out two Svarim on Shabbos, Vikorim Bisheni Vayavo Amalek. And I believe he doesn't say, I think you repeat haftarah of Pakadati. Right? So, but you have two, I've never been in Eretz Yisrael for Purim, much less Yerushalayim for Purim, but it's on my bucket list. One day I want to spend one Yerushalayim, I want to spend one Purim, and I want a Purim Mishulash. You got to experience that. Some people want to taste Basar B'Chalav, some people want to taste Chazer, what Yalta said to Rav Nachman, so I want to experience Purim Mishulash. So I want to hear Pakadati read twice. So
the whole week there, Rabbi.
What's that?
Actually, I can hear it there and here and there.
Okay. So you say Al Hanisim, you Shnei Svarim, you read by Yavo Amalek, not Zachor. Utmehani lamelo yomer Al Hanisim yom shishi shibar karmel gali. He wonders, why don't you read Al Hanisim on Friday? I thought the answer would be simple. Your real day of Purim is Shabbos. So that's when you say Al Hanisim. It's been pointed out. I know the Aruch HaShulchan says it. You don't say, if you're a Ben Yudalit, you say Al Hanisim Dalit. You don't say it on Tesvav. So here, Purim is Shabbos. You can't read the Megillah on Shabbos because of Xerah the Rabbah. But Purim is still Yom Shabbos. Now, what that leaves us two mitzvahs still. The Suda, and what is tied to the Suda is Mishloach Manos. So the Kosav Haran, the Perakam of the Megillah, Amasha Kosav Harith, B'Shem HaYushalmi, Sudas Purim Ma'achram Lo Makdimen. That means, Keshachol Arba Asa Liyas Berav Shabbos, Shayaris Gedolos, and Mukafas Choma Karim Bo Bayom, Shem Mukafim Choma Osin Suda Recha B'Shabbos. So Sunday is when the Suda is on Purim. So Friday is Mikra Megillah, Shabbos is Al Hanisim Vayavo Amalek, and Sunday is Sudas Purim and Mishloach Manos. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Yom Chamisha Asar Shecholios B'Shabbos, Ein Koron HaMegillah B'Shabbos, Ela Makdimin L'Krosa Be'erev Shabbos, V'Govin Maos Matnos Aniyim, U'Machalken Osam Bo Bayom. That's Friday. U'V'Yom Shabbos Motzein Shnei Svarim, U'Sheni Koron Vayav Amalek, V'Omer Mal Anisim. And finally, V'Enosim Sudas Purim Ad Yom Echad B'Shabbos, and the Mishnah Brewer here quotes in Sifkat An Yud Ches, he says, the Amrinan B'Yushalmi V'Yasu Osam B'Shabbos, why don't they do it on Shabbos? Why didn't you have the Suda on Shabbos? Amale, Yemei Mishteh Kosov. Es Shesimchaso Tluya B'Beizdin Yatzazeh Shabbos Shesimchaso B'Dei Shemayim. It has to be the way the Yerushalmi reads the preceding Pesukim. They declared it should be Yom Mishteh V'Simcha. The Beizdin doesn't declare that Shabbos should be Yom Shabbos Simcha. The Torah declares that Yom Shabbos comes out on Shabbos. Therefore, it has to be that they do it on a day when we are based and declares there should be a Simcha, and therefore that is Sunday. But who adin memela, says the Mishnah Berura, sheshiluach manos gam b'yom echad b'Shabbos. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. This is the way the Mishnah Berura assumes himsak. There is a dissenting opinion. Marshall, not you. You might be a dissenting opinion, but there's a different dissenting opinion. Go ahead.
But the Sfarah doesn't quite make sense, right? Because we set the calendar for all the Yom Tovim, and that's Visarachta Bechagecha, so we actually create the days on which Simcha are already to be celebrated. So why is it just a stira to say that we have the extra Simcha Purim on Shabbos, which is already designated by God?
I'm not sure what the
he's asking why we can't set it on Shabbos if we already do Shabbos.
Oh, yeah, okay. But so the Yerushalmi understands that it was the. You're right. You could just say what happens if it happens to come out on Shabbos. We're still declaring it as such. You know, I would have better wanted to say, you know, along the lines of, can you get married on Purim?
You can't designate
a yom. So, then you really are allowed to get married, but minhag is not to do so. Because if it's a question of mesamachta b'chagecha v'lo b'ishtecha, I think that's what the Yochanan Shulchan quotes, so it's not really a chag. But ma'arvin simcha b'simcha, one of the reasons he quotes is relevant. So the minhag is not to. So one might say that it's kind of like a ma'arvin simcha simcha. You want to keep the Suda of Shabbos separate from the Suda of Purim. Okay. Right. On Yom Tov, we have no choice. The Torah always goes there, that once the basis is Mekadosh the Chodesh.
So
agreed.
I'm not sure this far cuts enough.
Okay. Anyway.
Yom Tov is a daraisa, but yet we fix it entirely, whereas this is entirely.
Okay, so that's what the Yerushalmi says. That's the Mishnah Berurah quotes. But then he says, "Vinei Moreno of Levi Chaviv, Herich Lahochiach, the Bavli Shalano in a Silver Cane." Now, who is the Maharbach? He was, I would say, one of the chief antagonists of Yosef Karo. When they were Mechadesh the Smicha in Sfat in the 16th century, so they never bothered to consult with the Jerusalem rabbinate, right? They relied upon the Rambam, that all the Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael will agree, but they didn't consult the Jerusalem rabbinate, and Rav Levi Ibn Chabib, who was, I think, the head chief rabbi, whatever it would have been, of Yerushalayim at the time, was one of the vociferous opponents of the Chiddush HaSmicha. We have the tshuvas of the Maubach, and he has a very, very long tshuva regarding this particular issue. So, I don't know, it's kind of, I have to imagine that seeing the Mechaber write what he did, and I assume he was aware what the Mechaber wrote, I wonder if he would have taken some offense, because after all, the Mechaber was living in Tzfat, but I'm living in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim, we decide how we do things in Yerushalayim. Anyway, he says that the Osek Shasuda Hi B'Shabbos, he thinks the Bavli argues on the Yerushalmi, and clearly if the Bavli did argue on the Yerushalmi, then we would pass like the Bavli. V'Osek Kein Maaseh B'Yerushalayim. The Gam Mishloach Manos Peshabbos Ki Manos Heimei Asuda. As long as you're within the Eruv. That, by the way, makes it somewhat odd to think that they would have had Mishloach Manos on Shabbos. You know, because after all, I mean, I guess the argument might be is that if you're in a walled city, well, by definition, you're likely to have an Eruv. But on the other hand, it doesn't have to be walled anymore. It only has to have been walled, right? That's how they darshan Asher Lo Choma. Lo is a Kreyuk Siv. It's written, I forget. As a Balkriya, I don't know the difference between how you pronounce Loimit and Aleph and Loimit of Av. But it's read one way, written the other way, and they darshan, even though it doesn't have a wall now, but it had a wall once upon a time. So anyway, so that's what he says, but that is not the practice. The practice is, as far as I know, people celebrate Purim Meshulash, so the Megillah on Friday, Al Anisim, Vayavo Amalek, and Matanos Lejon on Friday, Al Anisim, Vayavo Amalek on Shabbos, and the Suda Mishloach Manos on Sunday. You presumably can do the Machtes HaShekel on Tiny Sester still. Yes.
Do you have a theory as to why Chazal, or would have spent so much time figuring out what day everyone celebrates Purim, but they never considered what's going to happen on Shushan Purim on Shabbos? Like, the Mishnah spent so much time talking about all the...
What's odd is that the Bavli doesn't comment on it. The Bavli doesn't comment on it. The Mishnah... does the Mishnah, I'm embarrassed to say now, does the Mishnah even mention Matanos Levyonim or Mishloach Manos?
Well, it must not.
I don't think so.
That's what I was about to ask you.
No, at all. Bechlal.
Just about
or Suda.
Right.
I don't think it mentions anything. I mean, the Mishnah, again, I haven't read through the thinking about this. I suspect the Mishnah in Megillah itself only talks about the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. And therefore, all the other mitzvahs are discussed in the, first it's Psukim, in Esther, but then it's discussed in the Gemara, and in Bavel, it would have been non-issue. Because they're probably, I don't know if there were Jews living in Shushan, not that I'm aware of, in the time of the Bavli, and thus, I don't know that they had any walled cities in Bavel. Would have been probably only a few cities in Eretz Yisrael that they were known would have been affected by this. That might be why the Bavli doesn't explicitly comment on it. Marshall?
I'm confused. I mean, the he's always saying, like, I found an obscure source that let me know about this unusual custom that in Jerusalem they did Matzah Levyonim. So you just said it was discussed in the Gemara, but why is he...
No, in the Yerushalmi. There are pieces that are in the Yerushalmi. It's not all there. In other words, the business about the Suda appears to be in the Yerushalmi. So Yerushalmi says the Suda is on Sunday.
No, but Matanah Yerim, is that discussed in the Gemara in the Bavli at all?
In this context, no. It's discussed as being tied to Mikra Megillah. So what the Yerushalmi is the Suda, right? Because the Megillah, the Mishnah says, is on Friday, and the Yerushalmi says that the Suda is on Sunday, and that covers presumably Matanos Levyonim and Mishloach Manos, and all that's left to know is what is on Shabbos. That I guess the Yerushalmi doesn't say.
But the Bavli already passed in the last week is a mitzvah of the day. He's only talking about the timing of the day, and we say
correct.
I'm in the Beis Yosef.
When he says
Bobayom.
Yes. So
that's the only thing that he said. I found some source. It's Bobayom.
Correct, and that also that in Omer Bo Alanisim.
Okay.
Did you have a theory as to why Chazal did not legislate what to do on it? Like,
well, I don't know. In other words, the question is, what was left? Once the Yerushalmi says, again, the Bavli may not talk about it because it's not an issue for them at all. If the Yerushalmi says that the Suda's on Sunday, then you basically covered everything. It just doesn't talk about Al Nisim. And the fact that they decided to read Vayavom Alek on...
Well, the Bavli deals with Shushan Purim, and...
Yeah, but it just doesn't talk about what happens and comes out on Shabbos, which is the rare case. That's all. Okay. Fine. And that now leads me to the most complicated of the three issues. And that is the traveler. Now, generally speaking, in halacha, a person who leaves one place and who goes to another and intends to come home, we say, the Mishnah Sachem says, that Nostan Alav Chumre HaMakom Sheyatze Misham and Chumre HaMakom Shehalach Lasham. In other words, let's say the Minhag HaPoskim in Eretz Yisrael is that you're not allowed that you can't eat gelatin, non-kosher gelatin. And the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael is that they hold that that gelatin is not a problem. So that means that if you're a Ben Chutz Laretz who visits Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to eat the stuff that is made with gelatin. Because if assuming you didn't make Aliyah, you're planning, you're just visiting, you're coming back. So you're a Ben Chutz Laretz, and you're bound by the minhag of the Poskim in Chutz Laretz. If you are a Ben Eretz Yisrael who goes to Chutz Laretz, you're not allowed to eat that food that, let's say, you brought with you found in Chutz Laretz, at least when you're inside the Tchum. And if you go into some isolated place in the middle of Harriman State Park, then you can pull out your, whatever it is, your marshmallows, and you can roast them over a fire there. Right? Just don't let any smoke signals go up, because maybe that's before Hashem. I don't know. Okay, fine. But seriously, outside the Tchum you can, but inside the Tchum you can't. Because no smell all of Chumre HaMakom Sheyatze Misham and Chumre HaMakom Shehalach Lasham. One of the obviously very complicated issues that is raised, and many of you have discussed this, is the question of Yom Tov Sheni for someone who goes from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael or Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. There are those poskim, most prominent among them, Maran, the Mechaber, who say that this is like every other case of Chumre HaMakom Sheyatze Misham and Chumre HaMakom Shehalach Lasham. And if you're Ben Eretz Yisrael and you go to Ben Chutz Laretz, you go visit Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev to keep 2 days. And if you're Ben Eretz Yisrael who goes to Chutz Laretz, at least in a private context, you only keep 1 day. You're not allowed, again, you're not allowed to do things in front of, you're not allowed to do melacha within the Tchum, according to the Mechaber. But if, let's say, your own Shemon Esrei, you say a Vachadik Shemon Esrei, you don't make 2 Siddurim, etc. Now, others, most famously the Chacham Tzvi, and some contemporary poskim, said no, that this is not actually a minag, this is not a minag. Chutz Laretz is Mrs. Minag Eretz Yisrael. It's not a minhag, as I would say, on Sheh HaMakom. It's not the minhag of the people of the place, it's the minhag hamakom. It's literally the minhag of the place. And wherever you find yourself is what you're actually supposed to do. So if you find yourself in Chutz Laretz, you keep 2 days. If you find yourself in Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day. Now, the question is, and by the way, that issue is not limited, this idea of going one place to another is not limited to Chutz Laretz, Eretz Yisrael. In Babel, different communities, the Gemara talks about, had different minhagim. One would eat chal, one wouldn't eat chal. There was a Daf Yomi had it not so long ago, where I forget, Surah or Nardah, and one of them, they wouldn't eat chal, I think. And this guy was from Pampadisa. They all threw their chals outside the town in the dump. And this guy found them, and he was from a different town, and he gobbled them all down, and he got in a little bit of trouble. So, bottom line is that normally we say that nosanav chumrei amakom sheyatzei misham and chumrei amakom shehalach lasham. When it comes to the issue of a ben yudalid who travels to a city that's mukav choma, or vice versa, it's a little bit more complicated. It's more complicated because it's, firstly, not as easy to talk about what does it mean, chumrei hamakom sheyatzei misham and chumrei hamakom shehalach lasham. You have a series of mitzvahs to do. You either mekayim them here, you mekayim them there. Now, I guess you could say that you should make sure to give matanos lafyonim on both days, and mashmal chmanos on both days, and read the Megillah on both days, but obviously only one with a bracha, because to make a bracha on both days would then be a leniency. But that is not actually what is assumed. For whatever reason, and we also don't have, for some reason, Yom Tov Sheni Shopurim. We don't have Yom Tov Sheni Shachanukah. Presumably, the Rabbanan never instituted Yom Tov Sheni Shogolios on the Yom Tovim that are only the Rabbanan. So, the question is, what happens when you travel from one place to the other? And the assumption, leaving aside that one interesting Yerushalmi that I mentioned at the beginning of the shir, is that you only read one day or the other. And the only question is determining what is your status. And in the Gemara's language, are you a pruz, or are you a pruz ben yomo, or are you a mukaf, or are you a mukaf ben yomo? A pruz means somebody who lives in the areha pruzi, the unwalled, the open cities. And a mukaf is someone who lives in a city which is mukaf choma, which is surrounded by a wall. And we'll see, the Mishnah says, let's start with the Mishnah on the bottom of the first side of the sheet. Ben ir shehalach lekrach, uben krach shehalach leir. If you have a ben ir, a 14 guy, who goes to a 15 place, or a ben krach, a 15 guy, who goes to a 14 place. Im ochsin lachzor limkomo, kore kimkomo, vim lav kore imohim. Now it says, if you're going to return back to your place, then you read like your makom. If not, then you read with them. Now, if I only had the Mishnah on my own, I might have said maybe. In other words, it depends where you plan on living. In other words, if you just moved from Netanya to Yerushalayim, and that's where you moved, so now you read on the 15th. And if you move from Yerushalayim, Chas V'Shalom, to Beit Shemesh, and now you're not living in Yerushalayim, it could have been anywhere. No, it's not because it's Beit Shemesh, it's because it's not Yerushalayim. So then you would read on the 14th. But the Gemara doesn't assume that. It doesn't assume we're talking about someone who was Oker Makoma, who has permanently left, but rather it means someone is visiting. So then, once that's the case, so Im Asid Lachsa Limkomo, well, he's always Asid Lachsa Limkomo. The question is, how do we determine when whether he's Asid Lachsa Limkomo? Obviously, it's a time-dependent issue. So Rava, everything revolves around this one statement of Rava in the Gemara. Amar Rava, on the top of this backside of the sheet, Lo shanu ela she'osid lachzar b'leile arba osar, aval ein osid lachzar b'leile arba osar, kore imahem. So Rava says that this is, the Mishnah only applies to the person, you know, as im osid lachzar limkomo. You read like Anshei Mekomo. That's only if you're going to return to your place the night of the 14th. But if you're not going to return until the day of the 14th, the way it's read is reasonably so. If you're going to start out part of the 14th day in the other place where you are right now, but it's not your home place, so then Rava says you read with the people who you're with. Now here is the important question. The Kesef Mishnah lays this out beautifully. He says, and I'm going to skip over the Rambam for the moment, hopefully we'll go back to it. The Kesef Mishnah says, Ben Ir Shehalach Lekrach, commenting on the Rambam's words, Perek HaKoreis HaMegillah LaMafreya, in the Perek, that's the name of the Perek, HaKoreis HaMegillah LaMafreya, Tanan, Ben Ir Shehalach Lekrach, V'chulei, Uven Krach Shehalach Le'ir, Uchafi teva hachaluka, based upon the structure of the Mishnah, ma'amer rava yisbal echa migimel perushim. There are three possibilities as to what Rava, when he said lo shanu, and lo shamu shanu, those words means, our Mishnah was only taught with respect to. That's what lo shanu means. It's a comment qualifying the Mishnah. It can be explained in one of three ways. Im shenomar shehozer hozer leben ir shehalach lekrach. It could go on the opening line. A 14 person who goes to a 15 city. Umisham nilmod, from that we might then learn leben krach shalach lir. We would invert the din. O shenomar dekoyi leben krach shehalach lir. He's commenting on the second line in the Mishnah, the last one. And talking about, meaning, he's talking about a 15 guy who went to a 14 city. Umisham nilmod leben ir shehalach lekrach. And from there, you learn the reverse case. O nomar dekoyi atarvayu. Bein leben ir shehalach lekrach, ubein leben krach shehalach leir. In other words, it's either commenting on A, it's commenting on B, or it's commenting on A and B. Now, let me explain sort of two side issues that play into this before I talk about A or B, and I want you to see how that plays out. Number one, the reason why you determine it based upon where he will be the day of the 14th is because that is the time of Mikra Megillah, at least in unwalled cities. I mean, we read the Megillah at night. But in fact, if you look in the Mishnah, there is no mention of Mikra Megillah at night. In fact, when the Mishnah lists mitzvos, it's an important Mishnah in the second parak of Megillah, it says that kol shemitzvah sabayom kosher kalayom, kol shemitzvah sabalayla kosher lalayla. Amongst the mitzvos halayla that are listed are ktiras haomer and hekter chalav mevarim. I don't remember if there's anything else. Amongst the mitzvos hayom are Mikra Megillah and a whole host of other things. So the pashtus in the Mishnah is that there's no mitzvah, no inyan of reading the Megillah at night, period. The Yerushalmi, it's clear, I haven't seen the Yerushalmi in years, maybe more than years. I'm pretty sure the Yerushalmi indicates that some places had the minhag to read the Megillah even at night. But that is a later development. The pashtus is in the time of the Mishnah, they didn't read the Megillah at night. So the Ikar, and even if, you know, in the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Dalet says that mitzvah lik, and it's a very odd Gemara, I think it's from Shua ben Levi who says that the mitzvah to read the Megillah at night, vilishnosa bayon. And some of the Talmidim made a mistake. They thought Lishnosa means you learn the Mishnayos of Megillah during the day. It's a very odd Havamina because it's clear that the Ikar Kriyas of Megillah is during the day, not at night. Not at night. So so that's probably why we... What's that? No, I think Laila Ekra Lacha Hashem Velo Dumi Ali or something like that. And Lemani Zamecha Chavod Hashem Velo Yidom. They're two psukim. One's from Mizmor Chafbeis and one is from Mizmor Lamed. Mizmor Chafbeis is the, if there were a Shir Chayom Shopurim, there isn't because they didn't bring Karbanos in the Mikdash for it. It would have been Mizmor Chafbeis, Lamatzeach HaYalas HaShachar, which Chazal Darshan about Mordechai and Esther. So it's one of the psukim, Elokai Yoma Mekra, something with Laila Vadumi Ali. So that's how you get both. But the Ikar Mikra Megillah is on the during the day. That's clear. An argument could also be made to explain the third shita, why Rava would say that everything, it doesn't matter whether you're going from A to B or B to A, is dependent upon where you will be the 14th in the morning. Why not say it depends upon, you know, the place you're from, the place you're in, that wherever they're reading Megillah. The reason why someone might say it's always determined by the 14th is because the Ikar Mikra Megillah is on the 14th. I mentioned at the beginning of Shir the question about, can, if you are a Ben Yudalit and you were Yotzer on Yudalit, can you read for someone on Tezvav? Are you a Mechuyah B'davar or not? The Yushalmi sounds like, if you are a Ben Yudalit, you cannot read for someone on Tesvav. But if you are a Ben Tesvav, the Yushalmi thought maybe the din should be the same, and the Yushalmi suggests maybe not, because Yudalit really is Ikar Kriyasa. There's a Meimer of Rabbi Chelbo that Yudalit is the real time of Kriya. So it is conceivable that where you are the day, beginning of the day of the 14th, which is the Ikar Zman Mikra Megillah, because A, it is day, and B, it is the 14th, determines everything. So if your plan, and this is all plan, if things change, it doesn't matter. Because you're the night before, you decide, do I have to read the Megillah or not? So in one way, the easiest thing, so you don't have to think about it, it's the least confusing shita, it's not of the Mechaber Paskins, but it's the way the Tor and the Rush Paskin, the least confusing shita is that that when the night of the 14th comes, and whether you have to read or record Megillah, all depends on where you plan to be the next morning. If you are currently in Yerushalayim on the night of the 14th, where they don't read Megillah, but you plan to be home the next morning, you have to read the Megillah there. If you are Ben Yerushalayim, not in Yerushalayim, and it's the night of the 14th, if you plan to go home to Yerushalayim before the next morning, you don't read the Megillah tonight. If you do plan to go home sometime after, not before, the beginning of the next day, then you must read tonight. That in some ways is the simplest shita, to assume that the Rabbah, in fact, was going on both. Now, one difficulty, a little bit of difficulty in that shita, is the following. If you look in the, go back to the Gemara for a second, on the top of the page. Amar Rava mino amin Allah. Rava says, how do I know this? Dichsiv, al kein hayudim ha... Maybe it's not a difficulty, but we need to know the source anyway. How do you know that you can take on temporarily a change in status? In order to change your practice of gelatin, or for the Mechaber, to change your practice of Yom Tov Sheni, you have to change your residency. Here, it's clearly only a temporary change in residency. But Rava says, how do I know that a temporary change in residency is a change l'gabei Purim in Mikra Megillah? D'chsev, al-kein hayudim ha-prazim, hayoshvim bi-arei ha-prazos. The unwalled Jews who live in the unwalled cities. Semichtei, k'siv hayudim ha-prazim. The Navi said, the Megillah says, hayudim ha-prazim. Laman l'michtev hayoshvim arei ha-prazos. They're called yudim ha-prazim because they live in the arei ha-prazos. So why you repeat itself? Ha-kamash balon, di pruz ben yomo nikra pruz. That even if you're only a pruz for a day, you're called a pruz. And mukaf minalan, how do you know about mukaf? Svarahu, mi di pruz ben yomo kari pruz, mukaf ben yomo kari mukaf. Okay, so what Rava does seem to know as a given, what he learns initially, is that a pruz ben yomo is called a pruz. From that, he infers that a mukaf ben yomo is called a mukaf. Okay. Now let's talk about the two possibilities of how to read, if you're not taking the third possibility, that Rava was commenting on both, the easiest possibility to apply lemaisa. So then, if you're not going to say that, it means that Rava was commenting on only one of two parts of the Mishnah. So let's try out each one. The Mishnah first says, ben ir shahalach lekrach, if a 14 guy goes to a 15 place, if he intends to return, and Rava says he intends to return when? Before the morning of the 14th. So this is a guy from a 14 place, who is visiting Yerushalayim, and he is there the night of the 14th. If he plans to go home on the 14th, before the 14th day, later that night, he's got to read the Megillah that night in the Mukaf city. If he is planning on going home after daybreak, he, no matter when he goes home, in the end, he goes home on the 14th at some point, even if he changed his mind and went home, well, I guess if he changed his mind, he would still read that night, but it doesn't matter when he goes home, he will now read the Megillah on the 15th. So even if he goes home on the 14th day, he will read the Megillah at home on the 15th. In other words, if you are not going home in the requisite time, then the kriya that you do is like the place that you are in. Now let's reverse this. According to Rabbah's din,
you were in.
The place
that you were in the morning.
You were in the morning of the
14th. If the place you were planning on being in the morning. Now, if that's the case, then what happens if someone is a ben krach shalach le'ir? He's a 15 guy who's visiting in a 14 place. So according to this view, does he read, now he's in Beit Shemesh the night of the 14th, does he read there or not? So it should depend upon whether or not he is going to go home before the morning of the 15th. If he's going to hang out in Beit Shemesh, party all the 14th, maybe even the night of the 15th, but he will go home by daybreak on the 15th, then he reads Not tonight. If he plans on returning some point on the 15th or later day or later, then he reads with the 14th. Now let's just think about what language. This would be the case Rava was talking about, was commenting on the first part of the Mishnah, and we are now inferring to the second case. Now we have the Gemara has an expression, Pruz ben Yomo Kare Pruz, and Mukaf ben Yomo is Kare Mukaf. Now, which one, let's just sketch out, which does Rava talk, if Rava's going in the first part of the Mishnah, which says that a guy who was in the 14th, but he went to a 15th place, and the Mishnah tells us that sometimes he reads on the 15th, what is that person when he is reading on the 15th? Is he a Pruz ben Yomo or a Mukaf ben Yomo? It has to be by definition a Mukaf ben Yomo, because he's a ben ir. So if the ben ir shahalach lekrach is becoming in some cases a Mukaf ben Yomo. So on the first clause in the Mishnah, we're explaining the din of Mukaf ben Yomo. In other words, in order to be a Mukaf ben Yomo, which means you come from a place, you're really a 14 guy, but you're going to a 15 place. In order for you to become a Mukaf ben Yomo, you have to plan, according to Rava, to be home, not be home, before daybreak of the 14th. And the second half of the Mishnah means if you're a 15 guy who's visiting Beit Shemesh, and the question is, do you become a Pruz ben Yomo? Depends on whether you're going to return home before or after daybreak of the 15th. Okay? Now, what is wrong? The Kesef Mishnah, I didn't give you the whole piece, thinks that this is the position that makes sense, but he says it's a problem. It doesn't work. Why?
Hold on.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work to read the Gemara, because Rava, which of the two cases, Rava made a new kimta about the 14th. Forget which line in the Mishnah was Rava talking about. Was he talking about a Pruz ben Yomo or a Mukaf ben Yomo? And the answer is he had to have been talking about a Pruz ben Yomo. Why? Because that was the one that Rava knew the din from the Megillah. Alkein ha'yudim ha'prazim ha'yashrim ha'prazos. It's only from that he infers that a Mukaf ben Yomo is Kari Mukaf. So, says the Kesef Mishnah, it doesn't make sense that Rava should make an akimta on the Mishnah for the din that he doesn't even know yet, that he doesn't have a real source for. Therefore, it must be, if Rava is commenting on only one clause of the Mishnah, and the din on the other clause of the Mishnah is the exact opposite, Rava must be commenting on the case in the Mishnah, which is a Pruz ben Yomo. And the only guy who can be a Pruz ben Yomo in the Mishnah is the second clause, ben krach shahalach le'ir. So now let's sketch out what this means. What this means is the following. A 15 guy who goes to a city, goes to Beit Shemesh, if he plans, does he have to read the night of the 14th? If he plans to be home by the morning of the 14th, he is not basically caught up in the web of Beit Shemesh, the web of the 14th day, and therefore he doesn't have to read at night. In other words, the key is, will he be home? Will he be in this place that he's in right now, Bishas Kriyasa? Not will he be in his hometown, Bishas Kriyasa? That's the difference between the two opinions. In other words, it's clear, when you're on the night of the 14th, Rava says if you're going to be back home by the day of the 14th, so he's saying that if you will be home Bishas Kriya somewhere, then that sets whether you read tonight, or then you wouldn't read there tonight. But the question is, will you be home by which Kriya? The Kriya of the place you're in, meaning you won't be there anymore, or the Kriya of your hometown? And what the Kesef Mishnah acknowledges appears to be the correct reading of Rava, assuming he's only on one and not both, is that it depends on the place that you're in. If you're going to be stuck there at the time of their Kriya, you have to read with them. If you're going to be home by the time of the Kriya of the place you're in, then you read like your hometown. The Shulchan Aruch writes here, so I want to look at the Rambam's language, and it's quoted verbatim in the Shulchan Aruch. Well, let's read the Shulchan Aruch already. No point in belaboring. Ben ir shehalach lekrach, u ben krach shehalach leir, im hoya daito lachzer limkomo bizman kriya, v'nis ake velo chazar, kore bimkomo. If your intent was to return to your place, bizman kriya, but he doesn't say which one, and you got stuck and you didn't return, you still read like the place that you're going to read. You still read like your hometown. If your intent was not to return after Zman HaKriya, but he doesn't tell you which one. That's what the Mechaber says. Now, based upon what he writes in the Beis Yosef in the Kesa Mishnah, we know that it means the Zman HaKriya of the place that you are in. And therefore, according to the Mechaber, if you are a Beit Shemesh citizen, resident, who goes to Yerushalayim, if you will be stuck in Yerushalayim, morning, if your plan is to be in Yerushalayim in the morning of the 15th, not to go home before the morning of the 15th, then you don't read, it's the 14th now, you don't read on the 14th night, you don't read on the 14th day, you read the 15th night and the 15th day. If your intent was to return home before the morning of the 15th from Yerushalayim to Beit Shemesh, since you will not be in the place you're in right now, Bizman Iker Kriya of that place, you treat yourself like a resident of Beit Shemesh and you read on your Dalit. And vice versa. If you are Yerushalmi visiting Beit Shemesh and you are there, Lel Yudalit, do you have to read with them? It depends. If you plan to be in Beit Shemesh for part of the day 14, then you read at the night of the 14th and the day of the 14th. If you plan on returning home very late that night, before daybreak on the 14th, then you treat yourself like a Yerushalmi.
But are you saying that if you end up, you live in Beit Shemesh, you get stuck on a 24-hour UR shift for all 14, and you plan to...
You get stuck in Yerushalayim.
Yeah, you get stuck in Yerushalayim.
You're Ben Beit Shemesh, and you get stuck in Yerushalayim.
24 hours the whole of the 14th.
Right.
But
it doesn't matter whether you're stuck to the 14th. It matters where you plan to be the morning of the 15th.
Right, but the 15th you're back in Beit Shemesh.
Then you read on the 14th. Your day is the 14th.
Where?
Wherever you can read in Yerushalayim. Yeah.
And how do you get a minion for that?
You don't need a minion for Megillah. And besides, you might have 10 other people anyway. So, right? That's it. The answer is, again, the key to keep it is that what is koveya you if you're out of place is whether or not you will be out of town in that place during that place's Ikar Mikra Megillah, which is the morning, the beginning of the day of whenever they read Megillah. Ben Yerushalayim Beit Shemesh, night of Yudalit, does he read then? Where will he be first daybreak of Yudalit? Ben Beit Shemesh, who's visiting Yerushalayim, it comes the night of the 14th. When does he read? It depends where he plans to be the morning of the 15th, the beginning of daybreak at the 15th. If he plans the way X, it doesn't matter if something else happens to change that. It doesn't change his din. Right? He's based upon his plan. That's the way he's supposed to read the Megillah, and it won't change later. What's interesting here is that the Magen Avraham and Taz seem to be purposely oblivious to what the Beis Yosef says in the Beis Yosef, and in the Kesef of Mishnah. If you look in the Magen Avraham here, Sifkat and Zayin, so he says Zman Kriya. He says Ve'ikar Kriya Talui Biyom Yudalid Velo Belaila Kemosha Kasav Simin Tafrei Sadi Beis. He, you'll notice, is saying that the Ikar Kriya is Talui not in the day, but in the day of the 14th, which sounds like he is choosing to read the Mechaber as it is determined by the day of the 14th. The Mechaber doesn't say that, and it's clear, the Rambam doesn't say explicitly, but the Mechaber here is quoting the Rambam's language verbatim. And he understands the Rambam as the way we explain that it's not only in the daybreak of the 14th, it's also the daybreak of the 15th. It depends on who you are, where you are, not that everybody follows the daybreak of the 14th. So that is in fact... what the position of the Mechaber is, but the Magen Avraham and Taz seem to ignore that. My recollection there, HaShulchan, is that it seems that he assumes that generally the practice would be, I think, like the Magen Avraham and the Taz, if I'm not mistaken, but maybe I got that wrong. But it's clear that that's not the Mechaber's intent. Mechaber's intent is that it goes both ways. I do want to conclude to read the last paragraph of the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah explains this very clearly, I think, very well. It's actually worth seeing his comment in the first paragraph, firstly, on the second line. He says, "Itzrichan anu leidash shlosha dvarim." You have to know three things. Number one, the imhu shayach la'arei haprasos afilu yom echad karei prus v'karei biyudalet v'cheinim hu shayach l'mukafin afilu yom echad karei mukaf v'karei tesvat. So first thing the Mishnah Berurah says, not like the, I think what the Maggid of Ramataz are saying, he's saying what the Mechaber's correct intent is, which is, if you're a prus ben yomo, you're going to read, well, I guess everybody agrees. If you're prus ben yomo, you're going to read on the 14th. If you're mukaf ben yomo, you're going to read on the 15th. That's number one. Number two, zman kriya hu ikar beyom. The ikar zman kriya is the one during the day. V'chevan shahaya ba'arei haprazos b'hatchalas hayom yodalad kore biyodalad v'chein ki agav l'inyi mukafim b'yom tesvav. So if you are in, he's not talking about plenary. If you're in the city on the day of the 14th in Beit Shemesh, you read the 14th. If you're in Yerushalayim the 15th, you read the 15th. And finally, Zman Kriya Shekosef HaMechaber Hainu Zman Kriyas HaMakom Shehu Bo Ata. It's the place where you are, Lo Zman Sheyatza Misham. And now he says, we'll explain this if, you know, Keseder Prop, 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 and basically he explains both sides of it, right? As we said before, that if he's a 14 guy who goes to Yerushalayim, then it depends on where he's going to be the morning of the 15th. And if he's a Ben Yerushalayim who goes to Beit Shemesh, it all depends on where he plans to be the morning of the 14th. That's the Makom Shehubo, not the Makom Sheyatza Misham. So bottom line, at least according to the Shulchan Aruch, I certainly Mishnah Berurah also paskins that, but I don't remember how the Aruch HaShulchan, what he says. But the Shulchan Aruch says that if you want to know where to read Megillah, if you're not in your hometown on the regular day, certainly in the beginning of the night of Yadalad, you decide where you're going to be the morning of where the kriya will take place of the town, of the city that you are currently in, and that will, whatever your plan is at that time, to be at that plebeia at that time, that determines whether you read on the 14th or the 15th. So this is the last of the three cases in which we get kind of interesting different times in which we read the Megillah. The first was the issue of the Yimei HaKenisa, the 11th, 12th, and 13th, which we don't have anymore, but certainly we still have a variation in time between the 14th for most cities and the 15th for the cities that were walled from the time Yeshua ben Nun plus Shushan. The second issue of Purim wandering in time is Purim Meshulash, when Shushan Purim comes out on Shabbos, as only Shushan Purim can, Yudalit can't. So then the practice is that Mikra Megillah, as the Mishnah says, and Matanos Levyonim, which is tied to it, are done on Friday. On Shabbos, you say Al Anisim, you Darshan Hilchos, you learn Maseches Megillah, and you also take out Tusfarim and read Vayavo Amalek in the second Sefer. And on Sunday, you have Sudas Purim, and you have the Mitzvah Mishloach Manos. And finally, in the situation of someone who is moving between two towns, the position of the Mechaber is that you decide that even if you're out of town, out of your town, the night of the 14th, the way you decide whether you read Mikra Megillah, then, meaning if you're a Beit Shemesh person in Yerushalayim, do you read the night of the 14th? Because in Beit Shemesh they read that way. Or if you're Ben Yerushalayim who finds himself in Beit Shemesh, do you read the 14th because you're in Beit Shemesh right now? It all depends upon where you plan to be. The beginning of the day of daybreak, the beginning of the day in the town of which you are located. And thus, if you are a Ben Yerushalayim who finds yourself in Beit Shemesh, on the night of the 14th, the question you have to ask yourself is, where do you plan to be the morning of the 14th? If you plan to be in Beit Shemesh, then you read already the night of the 14th, and you will read during the day. And it doesn't matter if you change plans later. And if you are in Yerushalayim, it will depend upon whether or not you intend to be in Yerushalayim the morning of the 15th when the day begins then. If you do, you don't read the night of the 14th or the day of the 14th, and it doesn't matter if you go back to Beit Shemesh, you will still read on the 15th. If you plan to leave Yerushalayim already before daybreak of the 15th, then you read the night of the 14th and the day of the 14th, even though you are in Yerushalayim. Marshall, what's that?
Aaron? If you plan to be in Beit Shemesh on the morning of the 14th and in Yerushalayim on the morning of the 15th, that's your plan.
And you're
it's not that far.
And you're Yerushalayim.
Right.
And, well,
regardless where you live.
Let's go through the difference.
Well,
I get dizzy here.
Okay.
1 second. You have a Yerushalayim. You have.
It doesn't make a difference where you live. Either way, you're in 14th.
So, if you are right now, it comes the night of the 14th.
Yes.
And you are in Beit Shemesh, and you plan to be there the morning of the 14th, then I would say, to put that Yerushalmi aside, I would say you read on the 14th, period, end of discussion.
You're going to be in
Yerushalmi on the 15th. Correct, because it's the Makom, it all depends on, you're not Chayiv 2 days, unless you want to say you're Chayiv 2 days. And there is such a Yerushalmi. If you're not going to say that, you become Niklat in Beit Shemesh, and you have to read the night of the 14th. It doesn't matter where you're going to be.
What's the underlying logic?
Because you right then you're a Purz Ben, whether it's your town or not, you're a Purz Ben Yomo right then. Purz Ben Yomo is called the Purz, and if you're in the 14th and you're a Prussy, you read on the 14th.
I understand if we're learning Deraisas, there's a divine logic that we can't necessarily understand, but this is all rabbinic and all custom, so why would we do something that's so counterintuitive?
Well,
if I'm from Yerushalayim, I'm going to be with my family in 2 days. Why wouldn't I read in my community with my family, even though I happen to be somewhere else today?
The answer is because when you're there that day, and you're there going to be there for the morning that day, you're not a Yerushalmi anymore. You're a Prussy. You're a Prussy. Sorry, that's the way it works. You're a Prussy. Right? And if it was the other way, let's say...
Is there another area of luck that's rabbinic where that would be true as well?
I don't know. I can't... Purim is... With multiple days, Purim is highly unusual. So I think that would be the answer to the question. Again, you have to... There's a Yerushalmi. You have to figure out if the Yerushalmi believes that maybe if you then went the night of the 15th, maybe you'd be chuyah of the day of the night of the 15th. But at least the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens, I think it would be clear. Leaving aside the sheet of the Torah and the Rush. The Torah and the Rush, no matter where you are, it all depends on where you plan on being the morning of the 14th. Right? But even, I would say, even for the Mechaber, if you start out in Beit Shemesh, Leil Yudalit, and you plan on being there Yom Yudalit, you're a Ben Yudalit. Yes?
So, unrelated question. First of all, you're not allowed to open fires in Heron, so let's just don't leave me either.
There are places you can.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to open. You said you go to an obscure place, Heron, but you can only do it in the fire pits and then the lean-tos on the beach.
I see. Yeah, okay. So excuse me, the lean-tos, the shelters are pretty isolated.
Yeah, well, that's probably not its own home, I guess. So anyway, that's not the question. Every other minor fast day commemorates something terrible that actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Many other examples in Jewish history when people restricted themselves in order to try to avert calamities, and most of the calamities actually ended up happening. Why is it that of all of those historical events, probably one of the only times this that ever actually worked, and we actually didn't end up having a tragedy, is still commemorated by us fasting?
Well, that would be the only one where they fasted before for it. Right? The whole point is that if it's modeled upon the tiniest that they fast, there are those who have the minhag, by the way, I don't know if I think the Rambam mentions it. They fast 3 days during Adar. You can't do it during Nisan, which was in the original fast word. But the whole point is, we fast the commemoration to their fast. You're saying, yes, it was successful. Yes, because all the others, they didn't fast before. That was their problem. If they had done Shuvah before, maybe we wouldn't have those fast days. So those fast days are to commemorate tragedy precisely because they didn't fast before, and these were days where terrible things happened. And this is, you're right, this is a different kind of fast, in a sense. It's a zecher to the fast that they did in and when they should have done that. So.
We actually discussed, we had the boys over for the Suda, and we discussed, assuming you had to keep 2 days